should stay, I would only be in your way. So I'll go, but I know I'll think of you every step of the way. And
hello, everybody. Welcome to our show. The song, I'll Always Love You. We should all love each other. It's a new year. Let's make part of our resolutions love, peace, getting along. Let's do all the things we want to do. Let's be more spiritual, more happy. Work with people. Work with groups. The name of our show is Let's Create a Better World. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to do, as we are trying to do on this show? We also, our other theme is healthy aging, power aging, living longer, and how and what. Today's show will be about the second one, about the health, how we can prevent aging, how we can live longer and feel better and be happier with health. My name is Bobby Elias, and thank you for coming to our show. We're on every Saturday at this time. Make sure you make your New Year resolutions. We have great information on this show today, the latest studies. We're going to have two guests on. First, we'll have Lisa Carlin. She is a public nurse. She's been in the public nursing, public health, a certified food for life coach. Then we're going to have Lisa Levinson. She is a vegan spiritualist, and we'll explain to you what that is. So make sure, if you like our show, to rate us on iTunes. We're on the archives. For those that don't have a computer or not near one at the time of this show, they can call the number I'm going to give you now, 619-550-0869. The next few weeks, we're going to have shows on ending all wars. A new committee that I'm on, Select Committee, is going to really try to end all wars. We'll get into that later. We're also going to be talking about genetically engineered foods and the newest studies, some real new stuff that's out of this world. So make sure you tune to our shows. You can check our website. You can also hear the promos that we put on that tell you what our show is going to be for that particular week. All right, let's get to our first guest. Today we're going to talk to you about how we can live longer and healthier through the right foods. And the right foods in this case today are a vegan diet, not a vegetarian diet, a vegan diet. So we're going to talk about the foods to eat, how they can make you feel better, how you can keep from having cancer, heart disease, and other major diseases. Talk about Alzheimer's. And we're going to talk about more things. So first, Lisa Carlin has been a public nurse. She's public health. She's also been at nursing. She's a certified food for life person with the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, a great group. Welcome to the show, Lisa. How are you doing? Lisa, are you there? Lisa Carlin. All right. Well, I'll get started when Lisa comes in. Melissa, if you're listening, our engineer, as soon as she comes in, just tell her to come on in, or you let me know that she's there. We're going to talk today about preventing cancer. Let me give you my take and my information on how we can prevent cancer. Now, a lot of people say vegetarian, but we prefer being a vegan. Being a vegan is better.
Hello?
Hello, are you there?
Yeah, sure. The call failed, so I called back in.
No problem. No problem, Lisa. Okay. Everything's fine. I just introduced you, and thank you for coming on. And I'm telling our listeners we're going to talk about being a vegan, why it's important. And the whole theme of the show is to live today. We've been promoting all week how people can live longer and healthier, and how we're going to – today we're telling them how they can do that. And I've already mentioned the topics we're going to talk about. Let's start out with being a vegan and the difference between being a vegan and a vegetarian, and just in general, why being a vegan is good. Lisa?
Sure. Well, the difference between veganism – veganism is actually a form of vegetarianism. Vegetarianism can be divided into several categories. Typically, people understand that vegetarianism means that that individual is not going to be consuming animal products. There are lacto-vegetarians that consume dairy products, but not meat products. There are ovo-vegetarians that consume eggs, but not the other products. There are lacto-ovo-vegetarians that consume milk and eggs, or dairy products and eggs, but not the meat products. And then there are vegans that don't consume, vegans don't consume anything with a mother or anything with a face. So you might think, well, everything has a face that has a mother except eggs. They have a mother but no face. So vegans don't consume any products of animal origin, including fish. And the reason I became a vegan is because about 5 years ago, as I was in my mid-50s at the time, my weight I gained had been thin my whole life, but I suddenly found myself 30 pounds heavier than I was when I got married, than I was when I was in high school. And my blood pressure was high. I was on 2 blood pressure medications, a diuretic and an ACE inhibitor, so I was on 2 drugs to keep my blood pressure in check. My cholesterol was about 230 points, so my doctor wanted to start me on a statin drug. And my fasting blood glucose was also elevated, and I was categorized as a pre-diabetic and told that this is normal, this is what happens to everyone, this is what happens when we age, that I shouldn't worry about it, I had good insurance, and I should just take the drugs and be happy. Try to eat a low-fat diet if I could, but that would be best, and get some exercise. So I knew that wasn't right, and, you know, I realized that there probably had to be a better answer, so I began looking. And the more I looked, the more I saw that people that consumed a whole foods plant-based diet were, as a group, significantly healthier than the rest of the population. And a lot of studies have been done on Seventh-day Adventists, which is a wonderful population of people to study because, according to their religion, they don't drink alcohol, they don't smoke cigarettes, and they're vegetarian. Now, not everybody within that group follows all the rules, so it's a great group to study because mostly they don't drink and they don't smoke. Many of them are vegetarians. Some are lacto-ovo, some are just ovo, some are just lacto, and some are vegan. So you have a really great population to compare the vegan diet to the rest of their population. And a study was done on this group. 65,000 participants were in the study. And they looked at body mass index, which is a great metric to determine one's weight, if one's weight is appropriate, one's mass is appropriate for their height. So that metric works well in the normal population. It doesn't work well in the bodybuilder population, and it doesn't work well in the anorexic population. So if you're not anorexic and you're not a bodybuilder, the BMI is a really good index or metric to measure where, you know, to figure out where you are relative to other people. And the only group in that Seventh-day Adventist study that had a BMI less than 25, which is considered normal, were the vegans. So the vegetarians, the lacto-ovos, and even some of the meat eaters, they were all had BMIs all greater than 25.
Great, excellent, beautiful words and information for our listeners. We are here to educate our listeners. We have some great listeners, Lisa, all over the country, a lot of them back east, and a lot of them are already progressive, they're hip, they're into a lot of things. The Progressive Radio Network is the number one station in the world, in my opinion, It's a fast and growing one for progressive radio. It is just wonderful. And so let me get into the next subject. I'd like to make a comment on cancer and why vegan diets are really good. A vegan diet is naturally low in saturated fat. It's high in fiber and many, many protectives such as phytochemicals. They prevent cancer. There have been big studies in England and Germany, two great, great countries, that show that vegetarians and vegans are about 40% less likely to develop cancer compared to meat eaters. Now, that's a great one right there. As well as living longer. I believe we live at least 10 years longer, those of us that are vegans and even vegetarians. Breast cancer rates are very low in countries like China, and people eat more plant-based diets. Also, Japanese women who follow Western-style meat-based diets are 8 times more likely to develop breast cancer than women. All right, next thing is Harvard studies. Many, many women and men that eat meat increase their chances of colon cancer by about 300%. So that's important. So can you follow that up and your thoughts on cancer or any other diseases?
I think what's interesting to note is we understand now that the majority of our immune system functions, or I should say a major part of our immune system functions from our gastrointestinal tract. And that has to do with the friendly bacteria that live in our GI tract. And some studies have been done recently to look at the GI bacteria in vegans or people that consume a plant-based diet versus non-vegans, versus meat eaters, egg eaters, dairy consumers. And it turns out that if you've been vegan for several years, you have very different GI bacteria living in your gut, which is why if a vegan accidentally gets some milk or some cheese, they're probably going to have a stomach ache and suffer some GI discomfort because that bacteria has changed. We also know that the products of those bacteria now produce, it's actually a very complicated mechanism, but it's called PMAO, which is a type of an oxide product that is produced as the end product of bacterial degradation of choline. And when you look at high choline-containing foods, you see this particular end product, this end point in metabolism. And this end point in metabolism is now contributes to heart disease. I mean, there are a lot of steps in between. But we now see the formation of plaques in our arteries and much more serious effects. So it may not even be the meat that's causing the problems. It's just the bacteria that cause, nothing the meat doesn't cause the problem, but we now know even more that the gut bacteria can either help you or hurt you. And if you eat a plant-based diet, you are more likely to have friendly bacteria whose end products of metabolism will be helpful to your body. And that's why vegans tend to have much more normal body mass, the BMIs, body mass index, as we talked about before. They have significantly less cardiovascular disease, significantly less type 2 diabetes, all forms of cancer, autoimmune diseases. That includes rheumatoid arthritis, ulcerative colitis, lupus, multiple sclerosis. The whole host of autoimmune diseases can be stabilized. Some even can be reversed. Most can be stable. The downward progression of these autoimmune diseases can be stabilized with a plant-based diet. And most recently, we've learned that people consuming a plant-based diet have less Alzheimer's disease. And I attended a wonderful conference in Washington, D.C. in July of 2013, the International Conference of Nutrition in the Brain. And we looked at basic science research on the formation of beta amyloid plaque in the brain, which is the hallmark characteristic of Alzheimer's disease. And after 2.5 days of listening to the results of all this basic science research, the conclusion was saturated fat, which comes not only in, all meat products and animal products have saturated fat, but there is some saturated fat in animal products. You see some in some nuts. You see it certainly in coconut products. Are very high in saturated fat. So saturated fat, trans fat, that's the bad fat, cholesterol, which is only found in animal products and not found at all in plant-based products, along with copper from mineral supplements and vitamins, and iron in mineral substance, mineral supplements, protein powders, and vitamins, all contribute to the formation of this beta amyloid plaque in the brain. And this is really, you know, groundbreaking information that we can do something as opposed to just playing musical chairs, hoping that you have a chair to sit down on when the music stops. Because I think if people don't have cancer and they don't have heart disease, they think, okay, they're going to lose their mind. And I know it scares everybody. It certainly scares me. And the projected numbers are that by 2040, we'll have 50 million people with Alzheimer's disease. And that will, without question, change the nature of how everything works if that many people are incapable of taking care of themselves. So what can we do? We can go back to the source and eliminate those triggers. And by consuming a plant-based diet, a whole foods plant-based diet, and if one is inclined to take minerals, to take vitamins, that they be vitaminless minerals. In other words, vitamins without minerals. And those are available for purchase. Here at PPRM, the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, we recommend that everyone take a vitamin B12 supplement. And those are widely available, so you can just buy that particular supplement. And we believe that all the other vitamins and minerals, if people eat whole foods, plant-based diet, will get everything they need from the diet. They don't really need the supplement. We don't believe in protein powders. We don't believe in fractionated food. And that would be when components are removed from food that are dried and wind up in protein powder. We like to see everything be a whole foods, plant-based diet. So someone wants to make a smoothie, throw bananas and kale in it, and get all those great ingredients from the food itself as opposed to obtaining it from a processed product.
Right. Very good. Let me let our listeners know that I'm speaking to Lisa Carlin, and soon I'll have another guest on, a vegan spiritualist. But Lisa Carlin and I are talking about being a vegan and the benefits of it. Not a vegetarian. Let's take a step forward and be a vegan. Lisa has been a nurse. She's been in the public health. She's a certified food for life person, and she also works with the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. Great studies come from Neil Barnard. Neil Barnard is the doctor in charge of that group, and he was on our show about 3 months ago. Great group, and this is why we have Lisa on, because she represents what I consider the premier committee on vegetarianism, and especially being a vegan, and why. Let me say a few more things, and then, Lisa, we're going to get into our next subject, which will be animal rights, and then we'll talk about the environmental impacts. Our time is flying by quickly here. I've got studies from Harvard, from Cambridge, that link dairy products to ovarian cancer. Also, lactose milk also is extremely bad, causing many, many problems. Also, the prostate enlargement. People that eat meat get prostate enlargement. I know, because I know a lot of men that are over 40, over 50, I'm one of them, that get prostate problems. And so it's so important to eat the right diet to avoid all these diseases. And one more, I'm going to review other diseases, and the reason these diseases are being beaten is because, I'm saying a vegan diet can defeat all these things. Heart disease, lowering blood pressure, preventing and reversing diabetes, gallstones, kidney stones, osteoporosis, and asthma, and everything to do with the mind. So let's get to our next thing here, our next discussion about animal rights or the environmental impact. They're almost tied in together. Lisa, the forum is yours.
Okay, thank you. Animal rights, I think, is a really important subject, because I think most people don't realize what goes on in factory farms, and we can't get away from it. When we look at all of the food that is available widely in all of our supermarkets, certainly the ability to buy food almost any hour of the day in most cities around the country, the amount of fast food that we have, really the fast food industry has has taken the factory farms to a whole different level, and our consumption of meat per capita or per person has doubled in the last 100 years, from roughly 100 pounds of meat per year to over 200 pounds of meat per year. And in order to keep up with this demand, these animals that are funneled through the factory farms, they have guidelines, but sometimes they don't work. In fact, most often they don't work because the animals are coming down conveyor belts or coming down, they're constantly in motion. So sometimes they're not stunned, and I'm sorry to be graphic here, but sometimes they're not appropriately stunned to make them unconscious when they begin to be taken apart. So many of them are still alive during that process. Many of them hit the scalding tank that's used to remove hair and feathers while they're still alive. They don't stop these conveyor belts because an animal wasn't appropriately stunned. In the case of chickens, for example, they're hung upside down by their legs. And sometimes when they hit, they're stunned, and then they hit the blade, which is supposed to cut their neck. Well, if they bend, then the blade doesn't cut their neck. Then the next thing is to be dropped into a scalding bath, and they actually suffer. And I just got to the point where once I learned about all these things, I just do not want to contribute to this kind of pain and suffering any way at all. It's just, it's horrific. So there's a wonderful researcher and lecturer by the name of Melanie Joy, and she's written a book called Why We, let me think of the name of the book, Why We Wear Cows, Eat Pigs, Wear Cows, and I actually forgot the entire name of the book.
That's okay.
But she also does a wonderful lecture on this subject, and she asks the population. She asks the group of people that are listening to her lecture. If she poses a question, she says, "What if you were invited to a wonderful dinner party and you were served a very delicious looking plate of spaghetti and meatballs?" And she goes on to say, "And the meatballs were so delicious, in fact, that you ask the hostess for her recipe, and then the hostess says to the recipe to the guest, well, first you start with very lean, very tender golden retriever, and suddenly everybody's response to looking at this luscious bowl of spaghetti and so-called meatballs becomes something that was delicious now looks disgusting, and." Of course, she was not promoting that anybody eat golden retriever balls, but certainly if you raise the issue that if this is cow, it's acceptable, and if it's golden retriever, it's suddenly unacceptable. And really, what's the difference? And the difference is our perception, that which we see as delicious and that which we see as disgusting. And the reality is we wouldn't eat our dog. We find that people that do eat dogs in China are disgusting. We find that backyard farmers may be, disgusting, caring for these wonderful animals and caring for them, and then when it comes time to kill them and eat them. So it's really about our perception of what we choose to eat, and it doesn't take that much to apply our principles of compassion and caring for the animals we do love in our lives to farm animals, which are beautiful animals put on the earth, not destined to be food for us, because we do much better when we don't eat them. So for compassionate reasons, for ethical reasons, I no longer wear leather. I no longer wear wool. I have found places to purchase beautiful shoes and beautiful purses. I don't cramp my style. I still like to look elegant and enjoy pretty things, but not at the expense of an animal that had to die for me. So now everything that I have is either synthetic or not made for, or made from cotton, not made from an animal.
Good for you. That's great. Wow. This is fantastic. You know, speaking of dogs, Lisa, I think you live in Southern California. I do. I also live in Southern California, and I'm so glad we could get you on the show. You were recommended by a good friend that's going to come on the show next. Dogs. Okay, Chinatown.
And I was going to say something. I just remember the name of the book. It's why we love Melanie Joy's wonderful book. It's why we love dogs, eat pigs, and wear cows.
Why we love dogs, eat pigs,
and wear
and
cows.
What,
where?
And wear what?
And wear cows.
Cow. Oh, my God. That's, what a title. That's amazing.
And there's a wonderful YouTube. And if you look that up on YouTube, she has a wonderful lecture that you can watch that your listeners can watch as well. It's a one-hour presentation. There are a couple of them. And I highly, highly recommend listening to this because she addresses this issue in a way that makes everybody stop and wonder why we've stopped asking why. You know, why is it okay to do these things? Because we don't see it, and we don't see it because it's not an accident that we don't see it. It's very carefully tucked away in areas that people don't see, because if the mass population actually saw what went on, they would speak out in outrage.
Well, Lisa, on that, how would people get on YouTube? What are they? How do they connect to it, to what you just said?
Well, if they put in the search Melanie Joy, M as in Mary, E-L-A-N-I-E, Joy, just like the word, J-O-Y, it will come up. It will come up. Her work will come up, and you can click on the title, Why We Love Dogs, Eat Pigs, and Wear Cows.
Yeah. Wow, that's great. You know, a future show, what I'd like to have on is a real show all just about animal rights, because it is so, all these things you just said, and that there's much more about the mistreatment of animals. There's a 4 or 5 minute video, a DVD, that's out. A group called Mercy for Animals has one, and other vegan groups have some, where it shows all the horrors that go on in factory farms and how they mistreat these animals, how they torture them and kill them and is suffering. Anybody that sees that 4 minute video would really think about eating meat. Anyway, let me go to the next segment with dogs. You know, Lisa, I live in Southern California, and I have passed through Chinatown a few times. One of my daughters has a birthday today, and we may go to Chinatown, but we usually go to a vegan diet, a vegan restaurant. However, in Chinatown, they have it called New Chinatown. There's Old Chinatown in downtown Los Angeles and New Chinatown in the San Gabriel Valley. Well, a friend of mine was offered a job. The job was to get a dog. Find any dog that's out in the street, dead or alive. Bring the dog in, you get paid $10. You know what they do with these dogs? We found this out. They take it in the kitchen, kill it or torture it, cut it up in pieces, and serve it that very same day to people out there. Chinese love dogs. They love dog meat, I should say. They don't love dogs. And this is what's going on. Anyway, let's get to our next subject. Well, we're just almost finished, but I want to give you a minute or two, you keep it short, please, to give a final thought and then give your contact information, how people can reach you, Lisa.
Okay, I'll do that. I think that the biggest issue, I mean, certainly our health is important. Certainly the health and the well-being of all animals is important. But probably the most important is the health of the earth, because are we going to have an environment for our children and our grandchildren to grow up in? And there are many studies that have gone on to say that even doing Meatless Mondays may not be enough, and may not be will not produce enough of an impact to meet up with the environmental degradation. I mean, we know we've got huge problems with climate change. Just look at what's going on right now in the East. We're having such summer type weather now. That's just ridiculous. We should be having rain, and we know that the climate is all disturbed by the amount of greenhouse gases that are put into the atmosphere by the by the animals, which it's the animal waste products are probably, I think the UN has stated, the animal waste products contribute to a far greater extent than all forms of transportation, and that's from the United Nations. So I think we have to be concerned about making compassionate choices for our own personal health, for the health and compassion of the animals, and for preservation of the environment, because we really don't have much time left, or we won't have an environment for our grandchildren and great-grandchildren to inherit. If anybody, I really appreciate, thank you so much for having me on your show. And I really appreciate being able to say a few things. There just isn't far enough time. But if anybody wants to reach me, they can contact me through either through PCRM at PCRM.org, or they can contact me through, I'm on there as a Food for Life instructor. You go to the PCRM.org, and then you click on Food for Life Instructors. I think it's under Health and Education, and then my name is there, Lisa Carlin. Or you can contact me through my email address, and I'll give that to you right now. It's initial L for Lisa, initial J for Jan, Carlin, K-A-R, L as in Larry, A-N as in Nancy, @gmail.com. And I will respond to you within 24 hours. So thank you so much for having me on your show. And I would love to hear from all of you. Thank you.
And Lisa, I definitely want to have you on again. You were excellent. I mean, you've got so much in-depth information that the public needs to know. Our people, everyone needs to know that there's so much out there. And so thank you so much for being on the show. And we will have you on again, and we'll be in touch with you, okay?
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be here.
You're welcome. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, and happy birthday to your daughter.
Thank you. By the way, her name is Lisa also.
Oh, that's right.
Today is Lisa Day. All right, Lisa, thank you again, and we're going to move on to our next guest, another Lisa. So we just had Lisa Carlin. We're going to have Lisa Levinson on next. And my daughter is Lisa Elias. She has a birthday today, and I'm going to be seeing her today, and we're going to make sure we go to a vegan restaurant, of course. What else? And, all right, so Lisa Levinson is a very, very unique person. It's into all sorts of great things. Lisa is into being a vegan. She's also a spiritualist, and she put the two things together, vegan spiritualism, or vegan spiritualist. And she's had meetup groups that I've gone to on that very subject. She just does meditation. She talks about all the things about being spiritual. And, of course, at the meetings where I've seen her, there are vegan potluck groups where everybody brings a dish. This is wonderful. And she is such a wonderful person. She's also worked with as a coordinator with the World Fest. To me, the number one of all health shows in Southern California. There are more activists, more people that are really caring about the environment, about food, about animals, about everything, all the people that care about making this a better world. So, Lisa Levinson, welcome to the show, Lisa. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic now that I have you on the show, and Lisa Carlin was just wonderful, too. So, okay, tell us what, Lisa, we could start out by telling us, if you want to tell us a little more about yourself, you're welcome, but also tell us about what is a vegan spiritualist?
So vegan spirituality is putting the two words together, vegan and spirituality. And the idea behind it is to expand the circle of compassion that we all feel in our hearts to include all sentient living beings. So that means when we feel compassionate to our neighbors and we want to be treated as we would, we want to treat them as we would like to be treated ourselves, that we extend these same morals and values to all living beings. And so that's the basis of it. And it's also deeply steeped in some of the ancient traditions of ahimsa, which is from the Hindu tradition. It means dynamic harmlessness. And the idea of this concept is to intentionally to be kind. It's to practice kindness. So if you are walking and you see an ant, you don't step on it because that's a living being, and you have a choice. If you notice it, it's really when we're aware of those things that we can make those types of choices.
That's beautiful, Lisa. That is, I do that myself. You know, one of my great mentors was Dr. Pablo Arriola. I used to go to the health shows 30 years ago and see him there, and we talked a lot. He was the premier health person in the world at the time. And you know what he said once in one of his books? I bought all 25 of his books, by the way. In one of his books, he talked about how when you have flies in the house when he was in Africa in a tent, he would have with him a little net. He took this net with him everywhere he went, pretty much in his bag. And what he did, if there's too many flies in the room, wherever he's at, he would take the net and get the flies, catch them in the net, and let them out. instead of killing them. Isn't that beautiful?
That is. That's really beautiful. And what we do as part of vegan spirituality is we meet monthly to talk about what is it like to be a vegan in a non-vegan world, and also to develop our own practices. We do some guided meditation. We spend community time sending out our vision for a world where peace and harmony between humans and non-human animals is a priority. And we share vegan food together, and we're building a community of people who care about each other, who care about animals, and also who care about the environment. So we meet each month, and we have about different topics and themes. And actually, Lisa Carlin, who was on just briefly before me, she came and spoke at one of our gatherings as well. And then our group meets up once a year. We have an annual retreat, and this retreat is a time to really gather together and explore vegan spirituality as a spiritual practice. We have a yoga, meditation, we do self-care practices, we take a nature walk, share food together, and then there's a speaker. Last year we had Will Tuttle, the author of World Peace Diet, and he came and spoke all about his life's work, about how being vegan is a spiritual practice. So we gather together in beautiful areas so we can enjoy nature and enjoy each other and contemplate and reflect on this choice that we've made to be vegan. And these retreats, we offer them, they're on the West Coast and the East Coast. Our fifth annual vegan spirituality retreat will be held in Philadelphia next fall. And the groups that meet monthly, we have several of them. It's a national movement that we're creating to really validate and explore veganism as a deep spiritual practice. And so we have a group that meets in New York City. We have a group that meets in New Jersey. There's also a group in Vancouver and Olympia, and one starting up in North Carolina. So visit our website to learn more about this movement. And if you're interested, if you're a vegan or if you're curious about it and want to understand how veganism is a spiritual practice, please visit our website at veganspirituality.com, and you can contact us and learn about the vegan spirituality groups that may be happening right in your city, right in your area.
That's great. Wonderful. Let's talk about bones, because you have some work that you're doing, and I'll let you explain it. It's something that's a little new to me, myself also. Just go on that subject, please.
Oh, sure. I'm as part of this practice includes taking care of ourselves. That's part of the spiritual practice, but it's also important to connect with the physical part of ourselves. And so I put together a workshop that teaches and educates people about bone health, because we're having an epidemic in our country of osteoporosis, osteopenia, and all these sorts of diseases. And what the purpose of the workshop is called Beautiful Bones, New Resources for Structural Healing. And I've gathered together some experts in the field of bone health for an experiential workshop, and people will learn the proper yoga poses to do to enhance your bone strength and which ones to avoid. And they'll also practice a type of movement called continuum movement. And there's also some different Pilates instructors and things that have developed programs specifically for bone health. I've started a podcast on bone health, and that's something that you can tune into by going to my website, which is beautifulbonesforever.com. And on the front page, there's interviews with some of these people, some of the instructors for our workshop, and also some of the professionals in the field, such as Dr. Susan Brown, who is a pioneer in the field of bone health. So the purpose of this is to include, in our workshop, we have movement modalities, and we also have plant-based nutrition by a vegan nutritionist to explain how to heal and maintain bone strength as we grow, as we mature. And so that's the purpose of this type of workshop. Right now, our current one will be January 12th in the Los Angeles area, and we're also going to plan one for the East Coast as well. That will be later. So you can tune in to the podcast, and you can visit the website for more information and upcoming events. And the website is beautifulbonesforever.com.
Wow, that's great. I highly recommend our listeners to take her advice and keep in touch with all of Lisa's activities. And our previous speaker also, Lisa Carlin, who happens to be a friend of Lisa Levinson. She was on just wonderful. So are you, Lisa. You both do great, great work, and we need this out more, this information. Or we have more time here. Give us some more information on being a vegan spiritualist or any other subject matter that you'd like to speak about, Lisa.
Oh, sure. One of the programs that I'm also working on, it's called Sustainable Activism, and it's a project of a group called In Defense of Animals, which is a organization that's been around for many years to fight for the rights of animals, like you had mentioned earlier about animal rights. But we're also trying to take care of the people who care about animals. So part of our program involves offering workshops and different services that help people take care of themselves while they try to do all of their activist work. So if you're out there and you're an activist and you're working to save the planet or help people in any way, you would really benefit from this sustainable activism program through In Defense of Animals. And we offer, part of it is a spiritual base, and we'll offer some of these spiritual retreats. Part of it is repairing the trauma of seeing some of these really sad things that we witness in the world. We need to take care of ourselves so that we can continue, even though we've seen a lot of traumatic images. And that's important because people can become very stressed and very depressed from knowing more and more about all the sad things that are going on in the world. So we want to learn ways to cope with those things. And sometimes practices such as meditation, such as getting out into nature, such as connecting with each other and talking and sharing, and also focusing on the positive things that we do see and the changes that are occurring, all of those things will be part of this sustainable activism program.
That's great. Well, we have a little less than 10 minutes to go, Lisa. Let's talk about some of the things that you do together, meditate, the things, mm-hmm. things that you think that people need. That and meditation is because it gives us a chance to get air, oxygen into our brain. It calms us down. It's just wonderful. If you could talk about meditation and any modality, this is
sure. I can do that. So I think it's very valuable.
There.
Yes, it's very valuable to take
there
some time every. I think it's valuable to take some time every day.
Go ahead, Lisa. If you could speak meditation and any other modality.
Sure, I can do that. Meditation is, there's many, many different ways to meditate. There's over 200 different ways, everything from sitting and looking at a candle to saying a mantra, which is could be a Sanskrit sentence that you recite over again. You can also sit in nature or create a beautiful place. If you live in the city, you can create a special part of your apartment or of your home where you can sit and be quiet for a moment or two. And it's a very nice practice to do, to take some deep breaths and give yourself some space to not think about anything else. To not think about all the suffering animals or all the suffering that's going on in the world, and allow your mind to rest. And sometimes in those moments, we receive some really interesting gifts. We receive some ideas about things to do because we are not so full of other thoughts that we can receive some sometimes it's a feeling of bliss. Sometimes it's frustration because we're letting out some of the frustrations from our day. But giving yourself a moment or two just to sit in the quiet, it can really help to balance your emotions, and it can also help to really nurture your spiritual self. So I think that's a practice that anyone can do. It's completely free. You can do it in your own home, and you can also enjoy that sort of thing in nature. So I think that's very important. And also developing some movement practice, something, whether it's Qigong, which is a type of movement that includes breathing and moving energy around, or yoga or Tai Chi, or some sort of activity that helps your mind connect with your body. So that's very important. Many of us live without that connection, and in order to be healed. Yeah, that's very important.
Do that, please.
Okay. I didn't catch the last thing you said. If we could to repeat the spiritual information, if anybody would like to learn more about vegan spirituality, you can go to veganspirituality.com. If you're interested in the bone health workshops and improving your bone health from a body, mind, spirit perspective, go to beautifulbonesforever.com. And for anybody who's interested in learning more about self-care in general, I recommend visiting a website called Dharma Voices for Animals. It's a group that extends compassion for animals to all living beings, and the group focuses on, offers meditation retreats and practices and articles all about compassion for animals. So that website is DharmaVoicesForAnimals.org. So, Bobby, thank you so much. This has been, it's such a treat to chat with you. I hope you're doing well, and I'm excited for your daughter's birthday today. This certainly was Lisa Day. You're right about that. Lisa Day all around. So thank you for honoring Lisa's on this special day and allowing us to share on your show.
Oh, Lisa?
Yes?
Lisa, we're having trouble with the phone. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you now, yes.
Okay, I can hear you now better. I got cut off somehow and called the our engineer in New York and at the studio, and I think we're in better shape right now. As I mentioned, I think you've given your final thoughts and your contact information. You know, I just want to encourage everybody, and I want your thoughts on this too, Lisa. Being a vegan is so, so important. If those of you that have heard the whole hour, heard Lisa Carlin speak about all the benefits of being a vegan and how and why it can help you reverse heart disease, cancer, prostate, breast cancer, and so many other things, everything with the mind, Alzheimer's. We have studies from Cambridge, from Harvard, and many, many other places that show that. I'm into this. This is why I enjoy doing this show, because I'm just kind of like a jack of many trades. And I try to keep my head into every single phase of body, mind, spirit. But veganism is so, so important, and I want to have you on again, Lisa, and also Lisa Carlin. Maybe I could do a full show with Lisa Carlin. She has so much information to give. Thank you for recommending her. But you say a few more words about why it's important to be a vegan for yourself and for our listeners and for all the meetings that we have, okay?
Sure. It's very important to be vegan for your own well-being and spiritual health and physical health. It's also important for the well-being of all living creatures, animals, and all of all kinds. And it's important for the environment. As Lisa Carlin mentioned, we're in the midst of an environmental crisis, and factory farming is one of the main causes. So it's super important on all of those levels, addressing our own spiritual well-being. When we eat animals who've suffered because they suffer through their deplorable living conditions, but also when they're slaughtered, it's a trauma. And all of the thoughts and feelings generate biochemical a reaction in their body. And then when people choose to eat that, they're eating the suffering of other living beings. So in order for us to have a clear conscience and to put sacred food into our body that comes from the earth directly, from the roots and from the soil, we need to feed ourselves plants and eat plant-based foods.
Excellent. That's beautiful. Yeah. That's beautiful, Lisa. Lisa, thank you so much for being on the show. I want to have you on again. One more thing that I want to tell you, Lisa, because I just admire you and all the great things you're doing and the meetings you have, the meetups, the potluck groups, the meditations, and all the special events you have are just superior. They're just wonderful. And it's kind of a thing that not too many people are into this venture of what you're doing and what Lisa Carlin is doing, because veganism is still a new thing out there in the world. Some people, vegetarians, they've touched base on a little bit. But more and more, we're on the right side and we're winning, because more and more the world is changing. And more people are going to be, because of social media and because of YouTube and all these, more and more younger people and everyone is being educated to the fact that we need to change this world. The name of my show is Let's Create a Better World, and veganism is one of those things. So I want to have you on again. And if you recall, we talked about a week ago, and I told you a few days ago, I think, about how everything you're doing is wonderful. However, one of my jobs on this radio show and just in general, one of the things I love doing is making sure that more people, not just the people that have money or the people in one culture, get to enjoy all the benefits of being a learning all these great progressive things. Gary Nolan and I have discussed this at length on how and why we want to get more people, poor people, into learning about all these things, people of color. And that's my job. That's why I have this radio show. And we're going to have another show on in Spanish again. I had it for a while. Didn't work out because we didn't have enough people. I'm going to try it again. I also have an African-American group in Los Angeles that I work with, working on Gary Nolan's ideals. But the reason I'm telling you this is I want you to think, put your thinking cap on, Lisa, and I will put mine on also, to come up with ways and ideas and methods that we can really find ways to teach more people, poor people and people that are left out, not just in this country but all over the world, and how we can teach them about all these wonderful things about being a veganist, being a spiritualist, and putting these things together and doing meditation and all these wonderful things. So I want you to help me do that, and just at least with some ideas. Can we do that?
Ooh, I have one. I have one already. I'm actually running a Dharma retreat on compassion and non-harming. It will be January 25th, and it will be located in Los Angeles. And the purpose of that will be to explore, you know, meditation and to look at our own choices with regards to what we eat, what we wear, and the items we put on our body. So I'm doing this in conjunction with a group called Dharma Voices for Animals. And this group is a Buddhist group that seeks to reach everyone. And
Please send me an email on all that. I've got to finish the show now. I've got some other announcements to make. But gee whiz, thank you so much. You were just wonderful. Thanks for recommending Lisa Carlin. She was wonderful. We're going to do this again. Thank you so much, and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Okay. What a wonderful show this was. And I'm so happy to do this, and I'm so happy. Our shows are getting better and better. In the next few weeks, we're going to have End All Wars, a new committee that I'm on. Blaise Fontaine is on, a group over here in Southern California called Pink Code, I think it is, Jody Evans. They're involved with this, and many of the top activist groups that have been going on for years
trying to stop wars. Finally, we're getting together, and we got some two actions set up for this coming year, and you're going to hear about that on the show in the next few weeks. We're going to have genetically engineered foods on with a new pig study, and this is all coming up in the next few weeks. Also, we're going to talk about erectile dysfunction. We're going to talk about in men. We're going to talk about the terrible radiation effects of cell phones and other electric magnetic things. So there it is, show. Thank you so much. If you like our show, make sure you check the archives for past shows. Tell your friends about this show, and they can see it on the archives. Also, there's a phone number I'm going to give you where if you can call this number, you can hear the show itself in case you're not near a computer. That number is area 619-550-0869. Check the promos for the next few weeks of shows coming up. Check our website and stay in touch with our show. I want to thank first Melissa, our engineer in New York studio. She's wonderful. She does a lot of great job to help us out. I want to also thank Jason, the producer in New York City, who is oversees all the PRN shows. He does a great job. Producer in Los Angeles, Jimmy D, our associate producer, Stuart Hassel, doing a lot of work recently to help me set up so many things. Both those, Jimmy D is just on top of everything, and Stuart is getting so much information to us, and we're just going to make this show the best. Also, I want to thank our two guests, Lisa Carlin, on veganism, and also Lisa Levinson, who just spoke about vegan spirituality. Thank you all for listening. We're going to go out with our song about love and about a new year. So happy new year. Let's make a resolution to make a new year full of love. Thank you so much.
Should stay, I would only be in your way. So I'll go, but I know I'll think of you every step of the way. And both know I'm not what you need.